hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Do you know what the Shroud of Turin is? It's this mysterious piece of large rectangular cloth with an imprint of a naked man on it with his hands crossed. And since at least the Middle Ages, many Christians have believed that this piece of cloth had the imprint of Jesus' body. It was his burial cloth used to wrap him after he was crucified. The image of the man imprinted on the cloth is said to be the image of Jesus. And you can look at photographs of the Shroud of Turin, and you can see the face of Jesus, or supposedly the face of Jesus. I offer no commentary one way or the other. And in the photos, the negatives especially, it is a face that we recognize as culturally what we imagine Jesus looked like. He has long, shoulder-length hair and a beard. This shroud has been studied by many scientists. It's an object of controversy. Is it really Jesus' image imprinted on this burial shroud, or is it just a piece of ingenious medieval art? Whether it's real or it's not, and to be clear, even the Roman Catholic Church has been agnostic about the reality of this shroud, this image of Jesus' face touches on something I think we can all understand. What would it be like to see the face of Jesus? Can you imagine what he looked like, what it felt like to be held in his gaze? What would it mean to look into the eyes of a man, yes, but also the Son of God? One of the interesting things in most of the gospel accounts of Jesus' appearance after his resurrection is that people do not recognize his face. These were people who knew Jesus well. These were his friends. In John's gospel, Jesus appears after his resurrection to Mary Magdalene, and she mistakes him for the gardener. I like to think Jesus is playing a little bit of a practical joke. I think he put on some work gloves and a floppy hat just to play up the part. But she mistakes him. She doesn't recognize the Lord whom she loves. Later in Luke's gospel, from what we have today, Jesus appears to the disciples, and they don't see that it's Jesus. They think he is some sort of ghost. He has to show them his scars for them to realize that it's him. And in today's reading, Jesus appears to these two disciples, to Cleopas and his friend. There's some speculation that Cleopas, based on John's account of the crucifixion, that Cleopas might be Jesus' uncle, and that the other unnamed disciple is a woman, is Cleopas' wife, so Jesus' aunt and uncle. Baylor scholar Philip Jenkins recently had a blog post arguing this very point. And it's interesting to think that not only do his loyal disciples fail to recognize him, that perhaps his own aunt and uncle, whom he would have known from a child, that when he appears to them walking on the road in Emmaus, they do not recognize his face. Our text is clear, too, that this inability to see isn't a moral failing on their part. They haven't done anything wrong. They're not stupid or foolish. It says that they were unable to. They were kept from recognizing Jesus. The hiddenness of Jesus' face is the work of God. Why? Why can't they see? Why don't they recognize Jesus? What our text is trying to tell us is the disciples have to learn to see Jesus in a new way. After his resurrection, and especially after his ascension, the disciples, that's you and I, have to learn to see Jesus, to find Jesus, to encounter the presence of Jesus in a new and different way than when he walked around on the earth. These two disciples learn that Jesus is present to them in the opening up of Scripture and in the breaking of the bread. As they're walking, filled with sadness, confused about the empty tomb, Jesus appears and he starts explaining the Scriptures to them. He shows them that the whole Bible, beginning with Genesis, all the way through the prophets, tells one story, and it's the story about Jesus. It's the story of his death and resurrection. It's the story of his love and his salvation. He opens the Scriptures to them and shows them that that is the story of the Bible. He teaches them that we are to interpret Scripture through the lens of the crucified and the risen Lord. And when they finally reach Emmaus, this destination that they've been walking for 7 miles, when they stay for the night and invite Jesus to join them, Jesus opens their eyes to his presence in the breaking of the bread. In an action that is a clear sign of the Eucharist, Jesus takes the bread, he blesses it, he breaks it, and then he gives it to them. And it is then that they recognize that it is him. Their eyes are opened, they see Jesus, and poof, he vanishes. Jesus is showing them that there is a new way to access his presence. When we gather together for Holy Communion, we commune with the resurrected Lord. In the Eucharist, our eyes are opened to the presence of Jesus that is with us. The hidden face of Jesus is revealed to us in this celebration. And that is why the feast of Holy Communion is so dear to us, for in it we are at the table of the risen Lord. When we gather together as his body, we receive the body of Christ. And this is why the fast that we are all undergoing from the Eucharist is so difficult. But is there hope for us now? What is the good word for us today who cannot receive Holy Communion, who cannot see Jesus revealed in the breaking of the bread? Before Jesus opens their eyes to his presence in the breaking of the bread, he opens their eyes to his presence in the Holy Scriptures. He shows them that the Scriptures speak of him. And before they can see him in the breaking of the bread, they must long for him from the teaching of Scripture. Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the Scriptures to us? This is what they say as they are jogging back to declare the good news to the disciples. Their hearts were filled with longing while Jesus was opening the Bible to them. We see that the Bible is there to fill us with a holy longing for Jesus' presence. We have been forced through circumstances beyond our control to be like those two disciples walking on the road. We can hear the Scriptures. We can be with those who are close to us, but we cannot gather to break bread. We are in a season of longing, with burning hearts, waiting, praying, celebrating morning prayer, a service that revolves around the reading of Scripture. We wait until we can gather again and encounter the risen Lord and the breaking of the bread. Each night before we put our daughter to bed, Jennifer or I, it's usually one or the other of us, pray with her. And then we sing Jesus Loves Me. You know the song. I'm not going to sing it. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. In a tune that is saccharine, and in a sentiment that seems so simplistic, these lines speak something deeply true. That the story of the Bible is the story of Jesus' love. This big, complex, hard book tells that story. And I pray that as we are all unable to encounter Jesus in the breaking of the bread, that we would encounter his love in the Holy Scriptures. And meanwhile, may our hearts burn within us as we look forward to gathering again, to break bread and to see our Lord. May this season of the Word fill us with an ever greater longing for Jesus. Amen. We now stand and affirm our faith.